Have a tree question and you're stumped? We're out in the yard with certified arborist John Eisenhower with Integrity Tree Service. Call with your questions right now at 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
All right, part number three of Bill's question, almonds.
Yes, part three, almonds are an interesting nut tree. We'll try to crack the nut of this question right now. There are several almond tree varieties that do grow in the low desert, but all of them have relatively high chill hour requirements. So to have an almond tree, and I have a couple customers with them, and they're beautiful trees. They're just great trees. They grow well here. But whether or not you can have a consistent fruit production is another question altogether. You have to have an adequate number of temperatures below 40 degrees, which is, I think, qualifies an hour as a chill hour, is a full hour of below 40 degrees. And you have to have at least 150, they say, to have consistent fruit production. And because most almond trees are above 250 chill hour requirements, your fruiting could be pretty sporadic. You'll have to wait for a very cold winter. But that's strange, because the caller said that he had a bumper crop this year, which doesn't make sense because we had a really mild winter this last winter. So maybe there are some new varieties that are available. I know that throughout the world, in Israel and other places, research is going on all the time. They're coming out with new tree varieties regularly, and maybe they have a very low chill hour requirement almond tree. If they do, it's going to be popular because they're a great fast-growing nut tree. And I grew up in an almond orchard in Merced, California. That's where I was born, and our house was built on a big old almond orchard. So they're beautiful, majestic trees, and wouldn't it be nice if we saw some of those popping up all over the valley? Thank you for the question.
Pollinators too. I mean, almond industries in California, I think it's close to $10 billion, if I remember right. I mean, just think, 90% of all almonds come out of that Merced area that you're talking about.
Well, yeah.
And I know a lot of this because that supports a lot of the bees in the country and the bee growth for the pollinators. So he may not have a good pollinator.
I remember
there
last
well.
year before you went out to that Blue Diamond conference or something, or I remember you took a tour out that direction of the world. Yeah. It's, again, just shows you the options that we have for bringing fruit and nuts and edibles into our landscapes. Again, encourage all of you, if you've got a chance this morning, to jump in your car, your truck, and head over to the Urban Tree, Urban Farm this morning at 9 o'clock for a tour. And you'll see 70 types of fruit trees all on a third-acre property, in addition to chickens, in addition to other permaculture, water harvesting innovations at Greg Peterson's own home, which he opens up to the public just a couple of times a year. By the way, go ahead.
I was going to say, trimming is our last talking point on here.
Yeah,
what not to before it gets cold.
Right. This time of year, just as in the summer, we start limiting our pruning as we head into the heat of the summer. In the same way, we slow down our pruning. We call it decreasing the dosage of pruning as we get into the winter months of the year. This is especially true in other parts of the country where the risk of frost is extreme and the temperatures are a lot lower than they are here. Fortunately, in Arizona, our trees grow deeper into the winter, and they break dormancy sooner in the spring. So we have a long, long, long growing season here in Arizona, which is beautiful. But we do encourage you to reduce the dosage of pruning as we get further and further into the winter months. Until we get into December, January, of course, which is our prime time to be pruning all of our deciduous trees, like our elms and our ash, our pistache and our pistachios, and I mean our pecans and all of our other trees that lose their leaves in the winter. Those are eligible for pruning during those winter months. Wanted to mention one last thing about composting. I meant to mention it before. if you have the ability to allow your leaves to lie, it'd be really nice if you could let your leaves, your fall leaf drop, stay on the ground, because that provides that natural nutrient-rich layer of soil, which is going to compost and stay on the soil, keep that, moderate the soil temperatures right through the winter months. I know that it's tough in some landscapes to let those leaves stay on the ground throughout the winter, but that of course would be the first choice. It probably should have been mentioned at the top of that discussion. Instead of adding, your composted mulch, your finished compost mulch, letting your own leaves stay on the ground is awesome.
We do that. The wind just doesn't agree with that, our method on that.
Nor does it in very many other places, because it does tend to blow everywhere and accumulate. But let it blow where it's going to end up, and let it sit there.
Let it mulch there. We have, hang on, Mike. He's got a question on a mesquite tree. We'll take that off the air at the top, and then we've got Joe in Sedona who wants to talk about gophers in his yard. So we will get y'all. Don't hang up. But why don't you talk about your class coming up one more time?
Yeah, got a class offered Sunday, November 6th. Go to dbg.org to register, and look forward to talking to you down the road.
At itreeservice.com if you weren't able to get on today, or to reach Eisenhower during the week. itreeservice.com. Thank you, John.
You bet.
Keep Rosie on the House the number one referral directory in the state by voting at rosieonthehouse.com or ranking Arizona.